Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm. Have you ever wasted more hours than you'd care to admit trying to set up a website for a new business idea? That's why today I want to tell you about a new service called Theme Valet, designed to solve exactly this problem. You see, Theme Valet takes away all the hassle of setting up a new website by setting up a professional WordPress or Rainmaker site on your behalf in just 48 hours or less. Just find the WordPress or Rainmaker theme you want to use, place an order at Theme Valet, and they'll set up your theme to look exactly like the beautiful design you were expecting. Plus, Theme Valet can even add your content, logo, and brand colors too. Theme Valet starts at just $99. Don't let your website be an excuse. Head on over to themevalet.com/hack today and finally get the kick-ass website that your next awesome business idea deserves.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a quarterback in the NFL, playing last season for the Minnesota Vikings, and is currently a free agent. He is enrolled at the University of Miami School of Business, and he is an entrepreneur to watch out for. Not one to take it easy in the offseason, my guest founded and oversees operations, product development, marketing, and sales of Rue Outdoor, a lifestyle outdoor apparel company. Using his network and connections from his day job as a professional athlete, my guest has grown Rue Outdoor at an exciting rate. Now, let's hack Mike Kafka. I want to thank ProJob Network for sponsoring Hack the Entrepreneur today. If you're a small business owner, there's thousands of things you can do to find a great new hire, or you can do just one. Post with ProJob Network. Just one click, post your ad to over 40 different job sites. It would probably take you forever to do that. And even after you did that, you wouldn't get the preferred placement that you'll get from the ProJob Network. In about a day, you'll have a list of qualified local candidates to choose from. Because ProJob Network will place your job in front of qualified candidates who've asked to hear about specific job opportunities like yours. How great is that? You'll save time and you'll save money. Plus, you'll find the best people. Try ProJob Network free for 1 week by visiting tryprojob.com/hack. That's tryprojob.com/hack. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur, and today we have a very, very, very special guest. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. My pleasure. This is going to be a lot of fun.
I think so, too. I've been really excited about it.
Nice. Okay, let's jump into this. Mike, I know you are many things, but as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
That's a good question. I think one reason why I think I've had some success is because I understand that I don't know everything. I don't have all the answers, right? And the thing is, like, I'm not really afraid to ask for help or guidance, and I think a lot of people are either too scared or too stubborn to ask for help. And so I think that I use and manage my personal network very well. And a lot of people don't really understand the power of their networks.
Yeah. And so that's interesting. So the power of the network obviously is huge. And I mean, I know people are probably listening and be like, well, yeah, of course he has a network. Mm-hmm. But then,
right.
And not everybody can obviously have that from obviously what your job is besides this.
Yeah, but I think too, like, even if it's just friends and family, like they're a part of your network and they're your biggest supporters. And people are, you know, what I've from my experience, people are even asked help from just their friends and family to help spread the word. And that is probably the most viral way you can spread the word and spread news about your company or brand. And I saw that firsthand when I did my Kickstarter last year. You know, my biggest fans were my friends and family in the beginning because they knew about the product, they knew about what I was doing, and they believed in me. And so it was an easy sell to get them to promote it, but that was the first step, was getting and talking to them and letting them know what was it about. And it was easy for them to go and tell 5-10 people, and then those 5-10 people, you know, and just kept on spreading and spreading. And so, but the key is just asking for help and, you know, figuring out, you know, who are your top people are in your family and friends that will help you spread the word.
Yeah. And this ability to ask questions and to admit that you don't know everything, is this something within you or something that you've sort of had to sort of bring on in it? Like, cause you figured that this is something you needed.
Well, it's definitely something that it's grown and I have developed over time. When I was a freshman in college, you come in and I was being recruited out of college, play football, but a lot of things, like you come in, you're the hotshot quarterback and you think you know everything. Well, you get humbled really fast, you know, at that level. And so I had to learn how to ask for help from my teammates, from my coaches. And to do that is not very easy because first off, when you ask help from the players and your teammates, those are guys you're competing against, right? And so that's difficult. You have to figure out a way to get them to be on your side while you know you're still helping the team, and then you're also helping them. So I think a big part to asking for help is, you know, you want to give help and give back as much as you can so that at a later time you can receive. And so what I was trying to do as a young freshman was just be the best teammate I can be, you know, working my butt off, studying, preparing, all those things. And so then when there was time to, I can go, hey, what do you think about this idea and this idea? They can give me the help that I was looking for. And so there's kind of a little bit of time. It doesn't just happen overnight. You have to kind of build those relationships so that you can reap them in the end.
Yeah, I love that. I love the correlations too between entrepreneurship and, I mean, sport, right? And
right,
especially as a professional. One thing within a team, obviously, like you say, like sort of getting everybody behind you, like to be on board and to work together into something. But then also as your own personal sort of like solo entrepreneur, as you go from different teams, I guess, and free agency. And I mean, there's a real correlation between them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think because you're in it, it's a business. So you're really concerned about what you're going to do, how you're going to perform, but there also is an entirely, you know, huge team aspect of it as well. So I think that, like you said, they correlate, you know, really well.
So when was the point in your career that you decided, like your career in sport and then deciding to become an entrepreneur as well? Like, was this something that you, this entrepreneurship, this idea of wanting to create something out of nothing, was this formed prior to or earlier in your life, or is this something recent that you've discovered?
Yeah, I feel like it kind of came up while I was growing up. I felt like I was always creative. My parents were always a huge proponent of having me drawing and being very in the art side and creativity and really building upon that. And I think from being young and moving forward, I've always had kind of a creative mind or a creative side to myself. And it just kind of developed over year and, you know, year after year. And after, once I got into the NFL, I was like, you know what? I want to start something that's my own. I know I was, you know, I did internships in college. I did kind of all these things. I was like, I like being my own boss. You know, I like doing what motivates me and what my passions are. And so I kind of follow that direction and I love it. I don't regret a single day.
And now with Rue Outdoor, you're selling outdoor, like lifestyle branded clothes, sort of, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
And how did you choose that? How did that come about?
I think it's really become, you know, living right now, I'm living in Phoenix. And so it's really an outdoorsy, very active community. And so I've really just kind of embraced that side of myself. I grew up in the city. I grew up in Chicago. And so there's not really any mountains. There's not really a lot of hiking you can do out there.
There's a lake.
There's a lake you can go swim in. But I enjoy being outdoors, hiking, running, all those type of things. And so it really just kind of became who I am.
Wow. So it was literally just sort of a personal thing. And then you're like, wow, there's obviously a market around this.
Yeah, exactly.
And I guess, does it fit in Or can it be tied to what you do, like your day job as well?
I think so. I mean, if you're like, when I would train, I sounds weird. I run up the mountain because of the way like the mountain, there's a really rough terrain, so you can run and jump off rocks. And so it really helped me get into shape during the summers when it's hot and I'm training for training camp. All that like kind of high intensity, high velocity work is great when you're running up a mountain and you're doing stuff outside. I just love being outdoors in general.
And do you wear all your own gear when you train? Like sponsor yourself basically?
Sometimes. I mean, the majority of the time, yes. I got shirts out the wazoo in my house.
You can be your first sponsor. You get your first. It's awesome.
Well, I dish them out in the locker room and everything. It's great. It's a great way to get the product out. And plus, like when I think about how I wanted to develop the different products, like I wanted them to be something that I would wear on a daily basis. And so it's easy for me to pull one out of my dresser and throw it on.
Yeah. And your teammates are supportive?
Oh, absolutely. We had a bunch of my teammates when we launched the Kickstarter. I was in Tampa Bay and a bunch of my teammates supported it, wear the shirts, or even, you know, this coming fall. I mean, obviously right now is football season, but this coming up when it starts getting cold and snowing, we have a bunch of quarterbacks that are actually going to be wearing them in the games.
Wow.
So yeah, we've had a lot of great support from some buddies.
That's awesome. All right. So at the beginning, you said the ability to understand that you don't know everything and to ask, that's your one thing. Now, every expert in this business space talks about the 80-20 rule, the Pareto principle. So you do 20% of the work, you get 80% of the results. Do what you're good at and delegate the rest. Mike, can you tell me something that you are absolutely not good at in your business?
Oh, that's a great question. I would say, I mean, there's definitely a lot of things I would like to build on. I'd like to get better at the programming side, being able to. So right now, all of our graphics and all of our online website design, we outsource it, right? We try to make it, but I'd like to get better at it. That way I can make real-time changes to the site, just be more efficient with the design aspects, social media side. Really, really, that's like the biggest part for us, because right now it's me and my wife, you know, monitoring and doing everything unless, you know, something really big comes up. So I think the side of that I would like to really build on would be the digital website design side of it.
Nice. Do you have like a plan of action to sort that side out?
Actually, yeah, there's a bunch of like free courses online and on YouTube that you can really just look up, you know, how to code, how to use Illustrator. And I've been listening to those and trying to do it on my side. And it's definitely not easy, but things are starting to make more sense. So I'm, you know, I really haven't tested it out as much on my site right now, but I'm kind of playing around with it.
Nice. Yeah. There's like places like Code Academy. There's all kinds of like free training sites that will teach you how to code if you are willing to put the time in.
Oh yeah. It's unbelievable. I love it. That kind of stuff is what I love. I love learning that kind of new stuff.
Yeah. And so you want the ability to, in real time, as you said, react and create things or make changes rather than having to email somebody or find somebody, email them, wait for them. And you, like, as the business owner, you see that as something that is worth your time and effort?
Yeah, absolutely. So right now, like I said, it's me and my wife really controlling everything. So being a smaller company, I think that's our advantage, is being able to see the trends and be able to move quickly on them. Whereas some other bigger companies, they have a whole chain of command they have to go to get stuff done. And so being a smaller company actually works to our advantage, because if I know what I want to see on the site, how I want it to look and how I want it to function, and I can make those changes, you know, before I go to bed, that is huge, you know, moving forward and helping the brand build, grow.
Yeah. That's true. It's true. And so it is just you and your wife?
Yeah.
And then outsourced help?
And outsourced help. Yeah. We'll help with, like I said, the website design, but we do, you know, all the fulfillment, all the QuickBook, like, you know, all that stuff that goes into running the backbone of the business. Me and her are doing it.
Do you have an idea who the first person will be that you hire?
We haven't yet. I think it would definitely be someone in the social media side, really boosting the social media. I think we have a pretty good social media following and presence, but I think really helping build the content on the social media side, that would is someone that we've identified as being our first person.
Very cool. I like it. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's talk projects.
Mm-hmm.
Projects, very loose term. I guess a new product you want to take on or a new direction you want to go with the business. So I'd like to know what your process is, whether it's like a written process or just an internal thing you go through.
Yeah.
But how do you decide when an idea comes to you or comes across your inbox or something? How do you decide when a project is something worth your time, energy, and resources?
That's a good question. So I think when a new project or something comes across my desk, I look at it and put myself as the user and see if that's something that I would use. And that typically is either a yes or a no, right? If it's yes, okay, now I start digging into it. If it's no, then I quickly, you know, move on type thing. And I think that process, it really depends on what it is. If it's, let's just use, for instance, let's say it's just a sport product. Let's say it's a new shoe. Okay. I would get that shoe, try it on, look at it, see if I could hike with it, if I could run with it, if I can train with it, if I can play basketball with it, see what function is it serving. Then find out what the problems are, what could be, what is on the market already, where the price points are at, and then see if there's a way that I can make it better personally. Because if it's a new project and I can't add any benefit to it, I don't see myself jumping into something that I can't add to as well. So I think that would be the initial kind of action. But, you know, we'd obviously have to figure out what, I mean, I need no more information to be able to kind of talk through some more stuff.
Yeah. So you are your own customer, basically.
Exactly. And I can't see myself, you know, evaluating, you know, a women's line of clothing or something. That's something I just don't know. In my opinion, I couldn't speak on that side. But if you came across with like, hey, this is a new shirt that I found, it's, you know, sweat wicking, odor resistant, and you gave it to me and I can go try it out, running it, throwing it, do all, you know, jump around and sweating it, then yeah, and I can give some feedback and see if I can help make it better, then that was something I'd be interested in.
Excellent. I love that. And what happens, or has this happened to you, where you've decided on whether it's a new shoe or something that you think is like, this is a brilliant product that people could use for X, Y, and Z, and you've added something different from the market, you've added your own twist that made it better, and you can get the pricing right, yet you put it out to the market and nobody seems to care like you do? Like, when that happens, how do you determine when, no, it just needs to be in front of more people, or I need to find a way to get it out there more, or else that it's just, maybe you're just wrong and just
right.
Different than everybody, than the market at that point?
Yeah, I mean, that is like the ultimate dilemma, right? Because you're emotionally invested in this product or company and you don't want to give up on it. And I think that's one of the biggest flaws that entrepreneurs have, is they get sometimes too emotionally involved in the product or service. I think the one thing you can do is prepare as much as you can for the launch, prepare on a macro level and a micro level, right? You prepare for what could go wrong and what could go right. I think those two things are very important to set yourself up for the future and see, okay, these are our very specific people that we're targeting. Let's say we found our niche market. It's men this age. This is what they do. There's 10,000 of them in Chicago and you've narrowed it down, right? And it, for whatever reason, it flops. And you're thinking, what happened? So now what you have to do, in my opinion, is go talk to these people, you know, rather than just blasting them and bombarding them with Facebook marketing and Google ads and all these different things. Go actually talk to these people and see, hey, this is what we have. Why didn't you like it? You know, and get a better feeling and do some more market research. If the results you get are easy changes to make, then you can apply it. If not, then it's probably one of those things to go, hey, these were our market. It didn't work out. I think that's probably the time when you'd probably want to move on.
Have you done that? Actually gone and talked to?
Absolutely. I'm actually going to go this weekend. I'm in business school at the University of Miami, and we have a project set up kind of a class project. So I'm about to go interview. I have to get 150 surveys done in my target market. I just pick like a local mall. So I want to be grinding it out for a few hours, getting some surveys done. But that's the thing. You have to go and find out, and you have to really learn like this project that we're working on might totally flip upside down and be a brand new product in a month, or a totally different product than what we're looking to do.
Yeah. So you only have so much time in a day. You only have so much time in a week. You have a career, and now you have a business that you want to, it seems, push really hard. Something has to give at some point? Or is there going to be maybe a point like where, like, if the business does sort of scale up how you want it to, then it's going to obviously demand more and more of your time. So is there sort of a vision you have that, well, if I can scale to this level while still playing ball, that I can then sort of delegate it out and get other people to run the business while I finish off my career playing and then move over back to the business side? Or how do you see that sort of playing out in a perfect world?
Right. So I think in a perfect world right now, I feel like I have a very good and very much control of the destiny of my company. And I've been able to really manage my time very well in season. I've been running the company for the last 3 years while playing football as well. And so we ran a Kickstarter in between there, and we ran production and manufacturing and sourcing and communicating with people overseas and with people in the States and conducting all these surveys. And so I think, yes, sometimes your time does run thin, but there is time to do it. And I've found out what works best for me in my scheduling and how I schedule my time. Now, it might cut into an hour or two of sleep. It might cut into an hour or two of, you know, watching a movie or whatever it might be, or hanging out on the weekends. But I found a lot of value out of really administering my time to make it work for me. Now, in a perfect world, I think every company has their own exit strategy. Right now, we're trying to develop the brand to be as big as it can be. And I think right now, as a brand, we're still developing. We're still learning what it is, who is our person. And that changes, and that journey that you go along with the brand could change many times over. You know, as I'm sure you've all heard the stories of, you know, how YouTube and all these other companies got started. They didn't start off where they were. You know, they had to pivot and shift and move into where their market was and where they were seeing the biggest returns. And so, you know, right now, Rue Outdoor is what it is, and it's continue to grow into a bigger company and to hopefully absorb other ideas and other, I guess, brand essences, so to speak.
Excellent answer. I love it. Because you're right. I mean, obviously you're right. You're doing it. But the idea of, well, I mean, maybe you get a little bit less sleep, but you find that time, right? I mean, people start businesses, really successful businesses, while they have careers doing other stuff. And the idea typically is that you can find the time if you want to find the time.
Exactly.
You want this more than you want to watch that movie, or do you not? And I think that most people would look at, obviously, somebody playing professional football and be like, but you worked so hard to just play professional football and then like get to rest on the rest of it and just like enjoy that lifestyle. And you're just like, no, I'm also going to do this, which is admirable and really, really awesome.
Thank you. Thanks.
I just think most people would be like, why is he doing that also?
Just play football and stop trying to do other stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we're getting close enough to a new year. So we're heading into 2016. Obviously a new football season, and then also Rue Outdoor. I want to know, this will be year 4 coming into it. If we could be sitting down having a beer in like a year's time, and you were super, super excited about how the year went for Rue Outdoor, what would have had to have happened for you to feel that excitement?
Well, we have a couple of new products coming down the pipeline for the spring. And right now we're in the middle of our biggest season, which is the hunting football season. We have our debut product, the Rue Inferno Hand Pouch. It's out right now. It works great for, you know, basically our two big markets are the hunting fishing side, which is the terrain side, and our sports side, which is we're seeing a lot from football. And so I think those two have always been the backbone of the brand. And moving forward into the spring and not being really a one-dimensional brand, just, you know, right now we're basically a winter brand or a fall brand, being able to move and grow into the spring and summer side and really incorporate some better products there. I think that's where we would be sitting down having a beer. I would be really happy with those successes.
Nice. I like this. So you have two big seasons of the four seasons, basically. And so you have like boom, bust sort of out.
Right.
And this way you're trying to like level it out, have those two big seasons, two other big seasons, and now the year's covered.
Exactly.
That's really smart. I love that.
Thank you.
That's awesome. All right, Mike. Well, this has been a blast. I'm so happy that you joined me today. I know that there are a ton of listeners listening right now that are really into the outdoors as well. And
awesome.
It would be great if you could, because we've talked about it in passing, but could you specifically tell the listener where to go find out more about your business?
Absolutely. You can visit rooutdoor.com. It's R-O-O outdoor.com. We have all of our products online there. And if you even call the company, that'll come right to me. Me and my wife answer all the phone calls for Roo Outdoor. So if you have any specific questions about the brand, about the products, we're always there to help and help you explain and pick out what the best for your needs are. But thank you again, John. This has been a blast. I really appreciate you having me on, and hopefully we can do this again.
Yeah, definitely. It's been fun. Thanks so much, and just keep doing what you're doing because it is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Thanks, John.
Mike, thank you so much. That was a lot of fun. I hope if there's any football fans listening to this to get to hear Mike talk business, that I hope that I didn't offend anyone with my complete and utter ignorance of the sport. I tried to say a couple things during that conversation, and then I'm like, I'm totally out of my element. I'm a Canadian that doesn't. I know hockey, but sorry. It was showing my ignorance. But thank you, Mike. I do appreciate that you didn't talk to me about football too much, because you really would have shown my ignorance. And I love what you're doing with Roo Outdoor, and I'm really glad we got to talk about it, because it's really cool, and I really, really do enjoy it. And I know that everyone listening out there is going to get a lot from it too. So this is the point of the conversation where I get to go back and I get to listen to it again, because we're looking for something that Mike might have said. And as I go back, there was three things that stood out to me. And so I listened to them, and then I went back, and then there was this one other part, and it was just it. That was that one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Yes, sometimes your time does run thin, but there is time to do it. And I found out what works best for me in my scheduling and how I schedule my time. Now, it might cut into an hour or two of sleep. It might cut into an hour or two of, you know, watching a movie or whatever it might be, or hanging out on the weekends. But I found a lot of value out of really administering my time.
And that's the hack. Mike, I'm glad. I'm so glad that you said this, because I hear this excuse all the time. Now, you are a professional athlete with a career, plus you have obviously family, friends, you have a wife, you have things outside of that. And like I even said during the conversation, so many people, I mean, most people would, that's what they worked for, was that career and that being a, like, what are the odds of being a professional athlete? It's super, super rare. And you did that. And now you're actually going to business school and started a business that you've been running for several years now. And this amazes me, and I love it and inspires me, because it shows the level of focus and dedication to doing big, cool things, doing work that matters to you, to your family, and to the people that are going to get to use your product and service. That's really, really, really crucial. And I love how you say that you have to do the work, and sometimes it might cut into an hour or two of sleeping, or maybe watching a movie or hanging out on weekends. That's so true. It's like 10:30 at night right now when I'm recording this, actually. And this is kind of when I do it. I enjoy it at this time, but it's also, obviously this cuts into other things, but it's when I have the time to do it, and it's when I work well with it. And it's the dedication that you have to do these things sometimes. You can't go from a 9-to-5 job and want to do it all yourself and then try and keep everything immediately in 9-to-5. Of course, you can, once your business starts to grow and scale, you can, because you can delegate and offset so much work and leverage other things that maybe you can get back to that or even less, start going towards that 4-hour work week, which I don't think you're ever going to get to 4 hours, but you will be able to drop it. But when you start, there's just no way. There's no way you can just Friday, 5 o'clock, that's it. Nothing else matters. Like, you probably have customer support, so many things, like designers, people all around the world that might be doing work for you that need to continue to work, and you need them there. And so this is going to cut in. If this cutting into your time to watch TV or your time to always hang out on the weekends is too much of a sacrifice, then it's just that. It's too much of a sacrifice. And maybe it's not for you. I don't think that's the case. I think it is for you. But you need to know this going in. And you need to know that these sacrifices do need to take place. Mike is a perfect example. And I love that he says this. And I love that he's willing to make this sacrifice because he's building something really, really cool by doing it. Thank you, Mike. Thank you. Thank you. All right. That was a lot of fun, as always. So happy that you are here. htebook.com. Have you checked it out yet? htebook.com. It's my new book. It's not even out yet. It's coming out in like 3 weeks or something. But go check out the cool page and get onto the email list. I have some interesting bonuses going out to people who get onto that email list. And you'll also be the first to know when it comes out in December. htebook.com. Go check it out. Let me know what you think. Once you get on the email list, you can hit reply to any of the emails and it comes straight to me. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. But that's it. That's all I got for today. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mike, again for stopping by. And just thank you for taking the time to hang out with us today. I know you have a lot of options of podcasts to listen to, and I'm glad you take the time with Hack the Entrepreneur. So please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.